What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Stan says, regarding the last hour's topic, obviously, Joe Biden does not believe that there's good people on both sides, right? Hamas may be good, but MAGA's bad. That's true, Stan. That is true. Right. He's got the most vitriolic he gets is towards MAGA Republicans. He can't bring himself to condemn anybody else quite like he brings himself to condemn Trump supporters. All right, let me go over here to the Charlotte Observer, a story the other day, about a week ago, actually, that Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary Not My Fault McFadden, he's going to get what he's been asking for. Yeah, Governor Roy Cooper, my good friend Ray, and other state leaders have agreed to have talks with Mecklenburg Sheriff Gary Not My Fault McFadden about his concerns that state jail inspectors are unfairly targeting him and coming to inaccurate conclusions after people died in the jail.
Right.
Just ignore that part. All right. Just the key here is that Not My Fault McFadden doesn't believe he's being treated fairly in operating the jail when the inspectors come around, and he's being held to different standards. And he said in that news conference a couple weeks ago, it's because he's black. That's what he said, right? He said he's African-American sheriff, and he's being targeted for this and his politics. Remember, he's a Democrat. The inspections are done by the Department of Health and Human Services, controlled by Democrats. So I guess that means North Carolina Democrat Party is racist. I think that's what he's saying. Which is kind of on brand for North Carolina Democrats, just historically speaking, you know. Here was the statement that he put out. This was way back on April 16th. A letter he wrote, actually, to Chris Woods, the chief jail inspector. He says, on April 9th, it was a Tuesday, engineering jail inspector Charles Brown visited Mecklenburg County Detention Center Central to conduct a semi-annual inspection pursuant to the state statute. As you know, Mr. Brown's inspection ended prematurely when he was unable to explain to me and my staff why he was requesting to receive and review an inordinate amount of data regarding supervision rounds at the jail. All right, so what is this about? Okay, well, these systems have been in place in various forms for a very, very long time, like the better part of two centuries, probably even longer. And it was a way to ensure that people who were, you know, making the rounds on guard duty actually did it, right? Because if you're in charge of walking the perimeter and making sure that, you know, people aren't breaking in and that sort of thing and everything's okay, you got to make sure that the person you hired to do that, or if it's you, that you're actually making the rounds and you're not just, you know, off hiding in a closet sleeping for a couple hours while on shift. No gold bricking. So how do you prevent that from happening? Well, here's one example. I think I've told this before, but if you go to the Biltmore House, there is, and by the way, I highly recommend you going to the Biltmore House and going with a friend who used to be one of the tour guides. I mean, that's how I did it, and it was awesome. Anyway, you go to the the house, and they've got a system. They had these, I think they were keys or buttons or something, these plates in the wall. And the guards would walk around. And when you walk past the plate, and it either had, I forget exactly what it looked like, but it's either a key system or a button system. I think it was a key system. And you would walk through and you would insert the key, turn it, and it would flip a switch, basically, that could only be flipped. This button could only be tripped by that key. And so it proved that you had walked past it. Nowadays, we got fobs, right? You just walk by with your little key card and bloop, bloop, swipe it. And now that goes into the database and it shows that you walk past this this particular fob. And so that's kind of the system that the jail uses, is you got to walk past and you got to swipe past stuff. And it shows that the corrections officers have made the rounds and have done so at the appointed times. And it's a pretty rigorous kind of a schedule. I mean, it's a couple minutes basically between the swipes. You got to keep circling around. Because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but criminals, they're kind of devious sometimes, right? They'll try to find ways to break the law. It's true. And so they'll engage in these activities if they know that the guards aren't coming around at a certain time. So the inspectors ask for the data to show the rounds. And this is where Sheriff Not My Fault McFadden has gotten into some trouble with these inspectors, is because the rounds and the swiping is not apparently where it needs to be. And sometimes when these prisoners die, it's because a guard didn't walk past and didn't see something at a time when they may have been otherwise able to save the prisoner's, the resident's life. Because Sheriff Not My Fault says they're not inmates or prisoners, they are residents. Okay. And so when this inspector guy, Charles Brown, was asked, why do you want all of this information? Which, dude, that's the inspector. He's the state inspector. He gets to ask for whatever he wants. It's my understanding, right? If I'm there to inspect the jail, I want to see your data. Give me your data. Well, why do you need to see my data? Like, McFadden is acting like these jerks that get pulled over and have the arguments with the cops, right? And you see them on the body cam video. They're acting like jerks. They're trying to litigate a case. You didn't have a right to pull me over. I want to see your badge. What's your badge? I want to talk to your manager and all this other stuff, right? Brown's initial reply was, because I can. When asked, why do you want all this information? Why do we got to turn it over? Because I can. When asked to explain further, I love how this is all dressed up too, right? Do you think this is how the conversation actually went? Please, Mr. Inspector, dear Inspector Brown, would you perchance elaborate upon your response? When asked to explain further, Mr. Brown stated that he had recently, within the previous 2 weeks, been requesting and reviewing the same amount of data from all the facilities he inspected. My staff then asked for a list of those facilities from which Mr. Brown had recently requested such voluminous records. It was at that point that Mr. Brown confessed. Well, I mean, Not My Fault McFadden was homicide, remember? He had the TV show and everything. I Am Homicide. He was a homicide detective who kept a bunch of stuff at his desk that he shouldn't have kept at his desk, allegedly. But I digress. So maybe he just cracked under the interrogative prowess of homicide, right? That's what it sounds like happened. He asked a simple question and boom, the guy completely caved, right? I lied. I have sinned. Maybe that happened. Sure, that could happen. I mean, of all the things that haven't happened, that probably hadn't happened the most, but it could have. He confessed that he had lied about his requests of other facilities and that his request for the Mecklenburg Sheriff data was unprecedented and unique. Okay, here's the thing. Still doesn't matter to me. All right, so he's like, oh, I asked for this for everybody. All right, tell us who you asked for. Okay, whatever. I haven't asked anybody yet. You got me. I lied. Oh my gosh. Like, you know what? Still, give me the data. Right? Like, I'm here to inspect your jail because you had another person die here. You've had four deaths in 5 months, something like that. And so every time somebody dies, I got to come back here and check your jail. So now, you know what? Give me everything. I want to look at all of it. Under what authority? State statute. Give it to me. Are you doing this for anybody else? Why are you targeting us? I'm not targeting you. I do it for everybody. What other places? All right, you got me. I lied. I'm not doing it for anybody else. Give me the data. Like, that's... I'm supposed to be outraged about this? Look, maybe there's something more. I'd love to hear from this guy, Chris Woods, or I'd love to hear from Charles Brown. When pressed by me personally as to why he was treating us differently than any other facility, or even why he was treating the sheriff's office differently than any of the other large capacity detention centers in the state, Mr. Brown indicated that he could not or would not answer that question, and he thought it would be best for him to leave. Again, this is Not My Fault McFadden's narrative. Again, would love to hear from the other side of this story, because there is another side to this story. But don't worry, the state officials are going to come and they're going to talk with the sheriff, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, I'm sure. Alrighty, so Charlotte Observer reporting that jails in North Carolina are inspected by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services twice per year for compliance with state regs. They are also inspected following a report of a death in the jail. An inspector will look to ensure safety regulations and proper protocol were followed. And in the past, these inspectors have noted deficiencies in the Mecklenburg jail. And Gary, Not My Fault McFadden, our sheriff, is very sensitive to this. He gets very mad when he gets dinged on these reports because he has the triple crown of all these other accreditations. He's very happy and proud of all of those. He's always touting all of those things. But, you know, the lousy media come along and just focus on these bad things after somebody dies, you know? He has been critical of the health department and two jail inspectors for much of the month. At a press conference, he said the inspectors, quote, seemingly target his detention center and apply extra scrutiny to it. Charlotte Observer has asked McFadden and his comm staff to provide details on specific reports in which he believes jail inspectors were unfair or mistaken in their conclusions. His office had not provided any of that as of Friday. I'm being targeted. Okay, do you have any proof of any of this? And no. Yeah, exactly. Got an email here to Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. Stanley says, in one interview, McFadden said that his administration has obviously done some things differently than previous administrations. That is true. He did say that. Yet he claims that all criticism regarding the results of his performance are racism. Stanley, there is an obvious and very easily understandable explanation for this, which is shut up, racist. All right, there you go. yeah, seriously. You can't run for the office, win the office, win re-election to the office, touting a record of blowing up all of the systems that were good old boy systems, replacing all of the people, doing all the different things, and then complain that for some reason you're getting all this extra scrutiny. Yes, you're getting extra scrutiny because the stuff that you are implementing has coincidentally coincided with a bunch of residents. And that tends to prompt a little bit of examination, particularly from the people that are hired to do examinations of jails, particularly after someone dies. Scott says, I am not sure why news sources have not begun to ask more questions about the qualifications of Gary, Not My Fault McFadden, to serve as sheriff. Well, okay, so I don't want to say in defense of the local news organizations, because I just don't know, because I wasn't here when McFadden first ran for office. So I don't know what kinds of deep dives people did. But before Scott says, before his heady days of being a TV star in I Am Homicide, Gary McFadden spent a significant amount of time being a chauffeur for previous Charlotte Police Chief Rodney Monroe. I did not know that. Is that true? I did not know that. I'm not aware of this. And I remember Rodney Monroe. Did he crash a bunch of cars or something? He couldn't get insurance? Is that what happened? I personally have zero sympathy for Gary McFadden regarding his beef with the NC Department of Health and Human Services. I was made to wait 11 months for a concealed carry permit renewal. I called a number of times, continually got the runaround, and was once told that I would just need to wait my turn. Only when I asked a lawyer who was organizing an effort to sue him, did I get any movement on my permit. I have dubbed him Sheriff McFluffernutter, because first, he is super soft on crime and criminals, and second, I have concluded that he is nutty. Well, that does make sense. I kind of saw where that one was headed, got to admit. I have concluded he is nutty from listening to his election debate and also the many public statements he has made. His words alone were enough to convince me that he is a first-class nutter. Okay, well, yeah. One of the changes that Not My Fault McFadden did when he got into office was to, give the proverbial finger to ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, right? And this is what got him labeled as a woke sheriff, that he obviously bristles at that label. But this was because he refused to participate in Immigration Customs Enforcement's attempts to take into custody and then put into deportation proceedings people that ended up in the jail for one reason or another. Now, again, remember, you end up in the jail if you get arrested for something, right? So you get if you are brought into the jail, now the jail has to identify who you are. And prior to the implementation 20-some-odd years ago of a program called 287G, people would come into the jail and they would offer fake names. They had fake documents and such. Not that they were undocumented. They had fake ones. And so trying to figure out who these people are in the jail and whether or not you should release them back into our community when you don't know, you may have picked them up for, some offense, but they're actually like a super duper criminal from some other country, and you just don't know that because you never got access to their records in their home country. And 287G was meant to deputize the local deputies at the jail and give them access to the databases and then let them search and run the fingerprints through and IDs and stuff. It was an identification program. So then ICE would say, hey, hold on to that guy. We're going to come get him. And then that outraged the, quote, advocates. They said it was racist. So they stopped working with ICE. They abandoned the 287G program, and they said, we're not going to hold these people. And like, if you want them to be held, you have to have a judge sign a warrant, right? But these are civil things over on the ICE side, right? These are civil proceedings, so you can't get a judge to issue a criminal warrant. And they McFadden knows this, by the way. The people who make these arguments, they know that ICE can't do the thing that they're demanding. But they make it sound like we're totally willing to cooperate with them if ICE will just do this thing that they can't do. And in fact, then ICE tried to make up some form of a warrant, a document of some kind, but that didn't work either. Advocates spent tax day, April 15th, highlighting how immigrants have contributed to North Carolina while pushing back on a bill that Republicans in the legislature, which, by the way, legislative session kicked off today, they're going to be taking up this bill again. And the bill would force local sheriffs like Not My Fault McFadden to cooperate with federal immigration officials, because most sheriffs in North Carolina do. Some do not. Ours is one of the some. Kelly Morales, the co-director of Siembra, North Carolina, or NC, joined immigrant workers and others outside the North Carolina Department of Revenue while holding an oversized check for $300 million. A recent report by the left-leaning Carolina Forward. Left-lean. I love when they say that term, that adjective, left-leaning. They're leftists. They're progressives. It's not like, oh, they just kind of lean a little bit left. No. They're like all the way left. They lean so far to the left, they've fallen over. Right? They're completely on the left side, Carolina Forward. And they put out this quote report that said, this is the amount that undocumented immigrants pay in state and local taxes based on data from Pew Research and other organizations. Okay. What's the other side of the ledger? That, you hear me ask that question a lot of times because you're offering up this data point and you're saying, I'm only supposed to look at the $300 million in revenue. What about the cost? Do these people have kids that attend school? Might some of those $300 million be used to pay for their education? What do you think? How about law enforcement efforts? Is there some revenue that's going to that, right? What's the other side of the ledger? And that's the first indication that the report is biased.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
I've got a message here on the Twitter machine from Mark to Pete. Being inspected by DHS four times a year, I know the fewer offenses you have, the fewer times they will persecute you. So how about stop the people dying in your facility, and then that'll mean less time they're going to be persecuting you. Right. Well, now, Mark, that might be a little too obvious for homicide. Cindy says, Sheriff, not my fault McFadden, got elected for one reason only. He promised to get rid of 287G, which was a Soros-funded movement. Now it's just other groups still funded by the same source with different nonprofit names. Yep. I remember this movement was all across the state. I remember sitting, because the original sheriff that implemented it was Jim Pendergraf, and then Chip Bailey took over after Jim retired, and Jim, a Democrat, was then hired by the Bush administration to go around the country and help other sheriff's offices implement 287G in their jails. He did that for several years, but it was, that's a tough gig because you're living out of a suitcase, basically. That's, I remember talking with him about that at the time. And Chip Bailey came in and he kept up the program. And I believe all of the, Irwin Carmichael, I believe, I think he kept it up. And so then I remember sitting in press conferences when Pendergraf was there, when Bailey was there, and there were activists masquerading as reporters, activists with bylines, and they would make these arguments, not ask questions, but they would make arguments in the form of a question about the harm that was being done to the community, right? And that going after or incarcerating and then turning over for deportation people with records, violent criminals, that this would make the Hispanic population in Charlotte-Mecklenburg less safe. They didn't, because then they wouldn't want to call law enforcement because they wouldn't want to get somebody in trouble and have them deported. And so if you keep 287G in place, then that means you get less policing, less safety in that community. That was their argument. That's still their argument, by the way. Last year, the North Carolina House passed a bill that would require sheriffs to honor detainer requests by Immigration and Customs Enforcement to hold people that are suspected of being in the country illegally. It would require them to hold them for 48 hours. The state Senate did not take up that bill. But a spokesperson for Senate leader Phil Berger, a Republican, says he does support moving that bill forward in this legislative session. So that was why the activists, or as myfox8.com, WNCN, out of, I think that's Raleigh, Michael Hyland's report, he calls them advocates. Right. What's the difference between an advocate and an activist? really. Not much, right? Not much. Earlier this year, House Speaker Tim Moore, who's running for a seat in Congress, said that the bill would be a top priority among or amid record crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border. Immigration is among the key issues in the 2024 election. Yeah. McFadden's lucky he's not running in this election cycle. And he got lucky last time that he had two opponents, one of whom, Gina Hicks, ran the jail in Mecklenburg, and he fired her. And she would have been a much better option. In fact, that's why I, as an unaffiliated registered voter, I went and voted in the Democrat primary. I went over there specifically to vote against McFadden. And it didn't work. I mean, I tried. Look, that's all I can do. I went over there and I voted in that, and then I voted against every single Democrat incumbent. I think I wrote in Hillary, too. I'm just kidding. I don't remember. I don't remember who all was on the ballot. But that was my main reason as an unaffiliated voter for going in the Democrat primary. Because I wanted him to lose that race to Hicks. She's way more qualified. This bill that the House is looking to run, it has passed previously. However, Governor Roy Cooper, my good friend Ray, by the way, I call him my good friend Ray because that's what Hillary Clinton called him when he came to town. When she came to town, she called him my good friend Ray. And then Kamala Harris called him Ray Cooper as well. So they must know something I don't. So I'm just trying to be respectful. Anyway, he vetoed that bill last time. But this time, the GOP has got themselves a veto-proof super majority.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.